Well, man, it is great to be with you. Congratulations again to all of our graduates. And by the way, graduates, there is a gift for you at the information center, so you can see Sean or someone else right after the service, and we've got something for you. We just want you to have, just to show that we are with you. We're congratulating you. We're just enjoying and celebrating with you this morning. If you have a Bible, you might want to turn to Exodus chapter 20. That's where we'll be this morning. We are in continuing our series called Timeless, where we have been looking through some of the history's most famous laws. Many of you know them as the Ten Commandments. God gave these laws to his people over 3,500 years ago on a mountain halfway around the world. But we are discovering together that these commands are every bit as relevant today and the here and now as they were back then when they were first given. These commandments were given to the children of Israel, God's people, because they were his people. The commands were not given to earn salvation. We know that you can't do that. We know that salvation is a free gift of God that is only by faith and through his grace. And listen, these commands, this is something I hope you really understand. These commands were never intended to make us feel guilty, defeated, or ashamed. They were not intended to guilt you into submission, but to help you live life to its fullest potential. I know as we read these, oftentimes, you know, we're going through these commands and we'll go like, you know, especially when we hear Jesus, right? And Jesus is like, oh, if you call somebody Raka, remember that one a few weeks back, you know, the you're in dangers of the fires of hell, or you know, if you lust, then you're, and all of us go, oh yeah, check, I broke that one. And the weight of that can get kind of heavy, but we want you to know that God did not give these commandments to burden your life, to make you live in guilt, to make you just live being ashamed. He actually came to set us free. And my hope and prayer is that as we've been going through these commandments, you aren't feeling pressure from them, but you're beginning to realize that God wants you to experience freedom because of them. You see, obeying God's commandments is not burdensome. A lot of people think they are. A lot of people think, oh man, if I'm going to follow God, I have to give up this, I have to do this, I'm going to have to, you know, that we've got this big list and it's a burden on me. The reality is the commandments were not given to be a burden on you, but the reality is this. When you break the commandments, the consequences of breaking them is a burden. And God knew that. God knew that if you break the commandments, that you were going to have to live with consequences, that you were going to have to live with all these things. And so God said, I want you to avoid all that. I want you to have good relationships. So don't commit adultery. Don't murder. Don't steal. Don't do all these things. I want you to have a good relationship with God. So, you know, make God first and all these things. So God didn't put these commandments out there to, like, give you this big thing of burdens that you have to do. He gave them to you so you could avoid the pitfalls of what would happen if you didn't live by them. So obeying those commandments aren't burdensome. We know that they're there for our freedom. Now, we only have a week left after this one, so come next week when Pastor Devin next week is going to teach us how to covet or not covet. He'll teach us on that one next week. And then after that, we're going to jump into a series in the book of Galatians, which I'm really excited about. Been doing a lot of study on that, and I'm excited to share some of that with you. And so, but today we turn to our ninth commandment. And I want you to read this with me. It's found in Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. We'll put it up here. Just read this with me. It says, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor, okay? Otherwise known as don't lie, right? I mean, that's what we put in there. And in the book of Deuteronomy, it definitely says it. We'll talk about that in a minute. But before we get too far with that, I want you to really understand, why was it written that way? Right? Don't give false testimony against your neighbor. We need to understand that back, especially in this time when these laws were given, that justice, okay, justice demanded and kind of like hinged on eyewitness testimony. They didn't have like all the CSI looking stuff that we see today. You know, they didn't have DNA testing and video cameras everywhere, all kinds of forensic things that you could prove guilt by and things like that. They relied on eyewitness testimony. And even to this day, I think those who are in the legal world or in law enforcement would remind us, the most important part to any case is eyewitness testimony. Okay? And eyewitness testimony is so key. And what happens here is that God knew that that was the case. And so he wanted us to get it right. Why? Because relationships and living together in a culture and in a society hinge on that. And sometimes even people's very lives depend on that. And so we're going to talk about that kind of at depth this morning. And so could you imagine what it would be like to live in a world where everyone was honest all the time? You kind of chuckled, huh? You know why you chuckled? Because you know that it's hard for you to be honest 100% of the time, don't you? Could you imagine if there was absolute truth in marketing? Yeah, exactly, right? What if there was absolute truth? Well, somebody pointed this out to me. I thought this was great, so I want to share a few of these with you. I thought, what would it look like if some ads just told nothing but the truth, right? So there's this one, like Delta Airlines, don't expect luggage to arrive. What if it really just said that, right? Or there's some other things for some of the airlines, right? We're not going to go there. This one's great. Makes vegetables bad for you, you know? Yeah, but some of you moms know that's how you get your kids to eat them. This one's so true. Walmart for the middle class, right? If you didn't know that, you've thought it, right? So, all right, I love this one. Just buy it. Yep. The next, now college, those of you who are about to be college students, you know, and those of you who are college students totally know this is true. You're most likely a poor college student. How many of you survived college eating ramen? Anybody? Yeah, that and mac and cheese, right? Because it's the one thing you can actually cook. So the next one, I like this one. We're just going to keep adding more blades. Some of you understand this one. Some of you aren't shaving yet. You might not, but I don't know. What are they up to now? Like 6, 7, 8 blades on your razor? I'm like, I thought it wasn't one enough. I don't know. WebMD, convince yourself you have a terminal illness. How many of any of you have ever gone on WebMD and then thought, oh my gosh, I've got it, right? And then you went to the doctor and they're like, yeah, you've got a cold, right? You know, it's like, oh, right? This is my favorite. They all taste, they're all the same flavor. Some of you I know maybe don't eat Fruit Loops, but you know, they're all the different colors, but they're all the same flavor, okay? It's kind of like the same thing with the marshmallows and the Lucky Charms. They all taste the same. IKEA, we throw in extra parts just to mess with you. I don't know if you've ever put together some of that stuff before, and you're like, you end up with all these parts. You're like, what? Like, what do I do with all this, right? This is my favorite one because it happens at our house. Carpet cleaner in a bottle that can't spray down, right? Yeah, I know some of you don't clean the carpets, but, you know, it's like it makes you crazy because it's like they know where's the carpet supposed to be, on the walls, on the ceiling? Well, I mean, you get that thing, and it never sprays downward, so you have to, like, take the top off and spray. Some of you will get that later. I don't know. But, I mean, what if there was absolute honesty in everything we did, and especially in advertising? The ninth commandment is one of the commands that that people, if you ask people, people will say to me, hey, I believe in the Ten Commandments, and I love to mess with people, so I say, oh, that's awesome. What are they? Right? And this is one of the ones they all get right, because people usually, and they all get the top three right. They say, you should not murder, you should not steal, and you should not lie, right? That's what people say. And those really are actually the top three, according to people in the United States. They did this huge survey, and they asked people which ones were most important and everything else. They did the survey, and they not only asked, and when they ranked them, don't murder was at the top, don't steal was right with it, and then I think after that it was don't lie, and then don't commit adultery, and things like that, and then it went down from there. It was almost like weird, almost like in a backwards order. But then they asked these people, the same, and it was over 5,000 different random people all over the country that they surveyed. And when they came back, what was interesting is they also asked a question, and they had people rank them in terms of which ones were still relevant, important today, to life today for us, okay? And it was interesting what the results are. We have, this is what the results look like. Do not commit murder and do not steal. So you're right at the top. 93% of people say, yeah, those are still important, okay? 87% say, don't bear false witness against your neighbor, don't tell lies to other people. Then it's like, don't commit adultery, honor your mother and father, don't covet. Here's what really drove me crazy in all of this, okay? Is that as I'm looking at this, what it really says is this, is go to the next slide. This is down at the bottom. Only 20% of people say, I am the Lord your God, you shall have no other gods before me. You may only worship the Christian God, is what they put in there. Only 20% of people say that that's still important today. 68% of people across our country say that that ranks lower than, in other words, they don't understand where all the other ones come from. No wonder things are such a mess. We want to try to be moral, but without the one who makes us moral. And that becomes an issue today for all of us. Only 19% say that we should keep the Sabbath, okay? Which is why we see church attendance in a lot of places keep declining. So we've all lied, right? Come on, right? We've all been lied to. Yeah, you're a little more convinced of that one, right? And most of us, I think even maybe the worst of it is most of us at one time or another have lied to ourselves about things. One study suggests that we all lie, every American, that we all lie at least once a day. Once a day, okay? And some of you are going to say, well, no, not yet. Then you start going through your day, right? And we're going to kind of define some of this a little bit clearer as we move through the message. But children, I love this part. Children 8 and under are actually the greatest truth tellers. Okay, kids 8 and under are more likely to tell the truth. And you know this is true. You know who knows this is true the most is moms. You know why? Because you go places with your kids and then they shout out stuff that is totally true, but you're like, shh, don't say that out loud, right? Because you're like, it was totally the truth. It was just, they just don't have any filters yet, right? So you're like, whoa, take it easy there, kid, right? There's also evidence that shows us that as you get older, you tend to lie less, or maybe it's just that you just can't remember the truth. I'm not sure. Do you know which group lies the most? I'm going to look over here for just a minute. Young people ages 13 to 18 lie the most, okay? Yeah. For years when I worked with the youth group, I used to get all the parents in a room every once in a while, and I would look all the parents square in the eye, and I said, you need to listen to me, and you need to understand one thing. Your kids, they're liars. They will lie right to your face. For those of you parents in the room who think, oh, no, my kid, just be quiet. Your kid's a liar, okay? All of them are, okay? We have this crazy propensity to not tell. In fact, what I thought was interesting is 59% of all teenagers surveyed said that they lie between 1 and 5 times a week, or I'm sorry, a day. 15% admit that they lie 5 times or more a day. 5 or more times a day. And now, I heard one parent, and I thought this was really, really insightful. I thought this was good. It was an interesting quote. One parent said this, "What makes me sad is not just that you lied to me. What hurts me the most is now I can't fully trust you." And you parents, you know, when we're kids, we don't think about it that way, but when we're parents, we know that pain. We know that pain when our kids tell us something that's not true, and all of a sudden it's like, now we have to question the things that they say. But we all have this propensity for lying. You may have heard the illustration about the guy. There's this guy, he goes to heaven, and as soon as he crosses the threshold, goes past the pearly gates, and he's standing there with St. Peter, and he looks over, and the first big wall he sees in heaven, it's all full of these clocks, and he says, what is that over there? And Peter says, well, those are the lying clocks. And he goes, lying clocks, what's that about? He says, yeah, every time that someone tells a lie on their clock, it clicks one line. And he says, for instance, see the one way up there on the top, the big one at the top? He says, that's Moses's, and it's never moved. It's never moved. He didn't tell a lie. Then he says, see the big gold one over there with the eagle on? He says, yeah, that's George Washington's. You know, remember he was honest, you know, cut down the cherry tree type of thing. He says, it's only moved once or twice in all of history. And he says, see the one over there, the really cool rustic looking one? He goes, that's Honest Abe, Abraham Lincoln, that's his clock. And people have been watching, people keep watching that one. It hardly ever moves. That one over there, that really special one over there, the real shiny one, that's your grandmother's clock. And as far as we know, that one's never moved. And the guy, you know, hesitated a little bit and goes, well, where's my clock? And he says, oh, God has that in his office. He's using it as a fan. You know, some of us have a greater propensity for bending the truth or lying than others, right? But what is it? What is lying? What's it mean to lie? Exodus chapter 23, verses 1 through 3, and then verse 7. Yeah, God, it's just three chapters after the commandment. And God gives us some more in-depth information about what lying is. He says this. He says, do not spread false reports. Do not help a guilty person. Okay, they're guilty. Okay, you know they're guilty. By being a malicious witness. In other words, don't help the guy who's guilty get off. Anybody ever do that? You lied for a friend or a brother or sister or something like that because you knew you were all in trouble if y'all got caught, right? Yeah, you know, that happens. Do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. Man, we'll talk about that in just a little bit, but that we really have a propensity towards that. When you give testimony in a lawsuit, do not pervert justice by siding with the crowd. And do not show favoritism to a poor person in a lawsuit. That's really important, okay? You look at poor people and you're like, oh, right? What this is telling us is don't let your emotions rule and cause you to, like, take the truth lightly. In other words, don't go, oh, you know, that poor person, that, you know, they didn't have the funds for, you know, hiring a good attorney or something like that. So, you know, yeah. God says, no, the truth is the truth. The truth is the truth. And your emotions don't weigh into that piece of it. So don't show favoritism. Don't say, oh, you know, I'm going to, you know, don't let your bleeding heart cause you to lie. Lying is just lying, no matter where it is, and it's important for us not to do that. Then in verse 7, it says, have nothing to do with a false charge. Do not put an innocent or honest person to death, for I will not acquit, this is God speaking, the guilty. God takes it seriously. Why? Because he knows that lying, because it's a sin, because it damages relationships, because it damages society, that eventually, if gone unchecked, it actually can lead to death. And if you're malicious, it can lead to the death of the wrong people. And God's saying, like, this is not okay, right? This is something we shouldn't do. I mean, what is lying? I mean, now what about white lies? I mean, is telling white lies okay? How many of you admit you've told a white lie before? Come on, this is lying day. You know, you tell the truth, right? We're all in this together. Well, I thought it was interesting. I was trying to figure out, so what is a white lie? Right? The Urban Dictionary cracks me up sometime. It's kind of amusing reading. Don't trust it, but it's amusing reading. According to the Urban Dictionary, number one, a white lie is a lie with good intentions. My heart was in the right place, you know, so I said this. I had good intentions, right? Number two, I thought this was really interesting. White people have told to make themselves look righteous. Right? Like, there's a reason we did this, right? And yeah, while we were taking over that country or something, I don't know. Third, a lie told to spare someone's feelings. How many of you have ever done that before? Yeah? Yeah, probably, right? All the time. I mean, the thing that obviously comes to mind is like, all the guys in the room will totally identify with this. When your wife, you know, she gets either a new haircut or she gets, by the way, if you don't notice a haircut, you're automatically losing points, okay? So find out ahead of time. That was what's great about having four daughters is I even had sometimes they were like, Mom got a haircut, you know? So I was like, oh, yeah. I got to remember that, right? Or they would say it first. And I'm like, oh yeah, you know. The other part is, you know, they'll get something like a new outfit or whatever. They'll put it on, and then they ask you the dumbest. That is a totally unfair question. Like, does this dress make me look like fill in the blank? Right. So guys, because I love you guys and I want you guys to be successful in marriage and life in general and everything else, there is only one correct answer to that question. Anytime it's told. So all of you guys, take out your pencils. You need to write this down. Okay, anytime she says, does this make me look? And then whatever she says, there's only one right answer. The right answer is this. There is nothing in this world that could ever make you look anything other than beautiful. Okay? Yeah. So, yeah, see, you're writing that down, right? And girls, if he uses that, he means well. Don't say, oh, well, Pastor Ken told you to say that. You know, don't pull that on him. Okay, that's not, yeah. He's trying. Give him the benefit of the doubt. The last one, I think, is the one we most fall into, and it says this. It says, information that you have shared that only includes what you want people to know and excludes things you don't want them to know. While you have not technically lied, you haven't told the whole truth. How many of you get stuck in that one on a pretty regular basis? Yes. So I go to Home Depot. It costs a little more than I thought. I don't tell Brenda how much anything costs, right? Just leave that part out, right? And it's not like I'm trying to or something like that, but it's like I just don't want any tension, right? And that we're going to talk about why that is. But that's what happens. And so, but the reality is all of these, no matter where they're at, they're all lies. Leviticus 19:11 is where God comes right out and says, after he says, don't steal, he says this in Leviticus 19:11. He says, don't steal, do not lie, do not deceive one another. I think the best definition for what lying is this. Lying is saying anything that is untrue or not saying all that is true. Lying is anything, you might say it another way, that is said or done to purposely deceive someone else. Okay? Someone once said, a lie told often enough becomes the truth. You know who said that? Vladimir Lenin. Then there was a thing way back years ago in a book called Mein Kampf, written by Adolf Hitler. And in the book, he spells out some of his thoughts and some of his philosophy about basically how he was going to, you know, take over things and stuff like that. And in it, he has what has been called the big lie. He actually like writes this. You can go and read it. And it's actually called the big lie. And the philosophy behind this is this. If you really want to control people, he says, one of the ways to do this is you tell a lie that is so audacious that no one would ever think that you would say that if it wasn't true. And then what happens is once you say that, it makes all of the smaller lies more palatable. And he used that, didn't he? He used that technique and was successful at it to the point where millions of people lost their lives. Millions of Jews lost their lives in those Holocaust concentration camps. And what was even more ironic to all of that is, you know what Hitler used? You know what the big lie was that Hitler used against the Jews? That they were deceitful. Isn't that crazy? But he used a lie and millions of people died. We all have this propensity to lie, but lying has horrible results. So when we lie, it reveals our hearts. That's something important for us to know. When we lie, it reveals our hearts. Matthew chapter 15, verses 18 to 19 says this. It says, but the words you speak come from the heart. That's what defiles you. For from the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. Lying has a birthplace in your heart. When you tell a lie, it's because your heart has something bad in it. And it comes out. You lie. Okay, and we'll talk about the reasons why. But the reality is that all of these things start. And some people say, no, I put it together in my head. No, it started here. The heart was the filter that allowed it to come out of your mouth. That's what God's word says. Okay, if you don't like that philosophically or whatever, don't argue with me. Argue with God's word. It says, out of the overflow of your heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever comes out of our mouth, it's gone through the filter of our heart. So if our heart is bad, if it has big holes in it, stuff comes out, right? And so that's where lies come from. And it's important for us to get that. Why? Because most of our lies, most of the lies that we say are caused by fear. This is so important for us to understand that most of our lies are caused by fear in our lives, right? Because we're afraid, it causes us to hide. And so we build a fortress or a hiding place full of lies to hide. It happened from the very beginning. If you go back to the book of Genesis, when God first created man, you know, man and Eve, Adam and Eve, they're in the garden, everything's going great. And God at that time only had one commandment, okay? We didn't need the 10 yet. There's only one. There's that tree over there. Do everything else you want. You know, I mean, think about that. Run naked through the garden all you want. You know, eat from every. There's only one rule. Don't eat that one. Okay? And they did. And then what happened immediately after that? They hid. Right after that, God comes into the gardens. He's like looking for Adam and Eve. Adam, where are you? He's all, we were afraid, so we hid. That's what we do. When we do something wrong, we get afraid, and so we hide. And we build up a mountain of lies to hide ourselves. And the devil is an expert at throwing your junk back at you and pointing out where you've messed up and pointing out your sin and pointing out your lies and pointing out that you're no good or that you can't do this or everything else. And when that happens, we just keep throwing up all of this wall of lies to try to hide ourselves. You see, it's because of fear that we do this, because we don't want our real us to be seen. And so we build a mask, we build a wall, we build all kinds of things so that we don't have to really let somebody look at who we really are. The good news is, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, that all of that stuff that the devil keeps trying to throw at you, Jesus already nailed that to the cross. And you don't have to be afraid of that, and you don't have to hide. See, part of the reality is there's three main reasons. I was looking at this big study on lying this last week, and they said there's three main reasons that we lie. The first is this: we lie to protect ourselves. We lie to protect ourselves. In other words, we know that we're in trouble, and so we tell a lie. I mean, this was like forever in our home. When I was a kid growing up, anytime my dad went into the garage, he was like, he'd come out and say, "Who did such and such and such and such," right? And me and my brothers would instantly respond with the famous saying. He'd say, "Who did that?" And we would say, "Yeah, not me. Not me. You know, who left the tools out? Not me. Who let the dog out? Or who forgot to feed the dog? Or who spilled this? Or who did this? Not me," right? My dad's funny. My dad always said, if I ever catch that "not me" kid, I'm going to wring his neck. Okay? But we know, because when we think we're in trouble, we will put up walls, we will tell lies to try to protect, because we think if the truth gets out, then I'm in trouble. I don't know how it is that the devil starts to get you to believe that if you just add to the problem you already have, add lying to it, that somehow it's going to make the whole mess go away. What it actually does is digs it in deeper and solidifies it. And so we have to stop that. But most of us do it. There's a story in the Bible where this really comes to light, which is quite interesting. It's a story in Genesis chapter 20. And with Abraham, who was the father of the children of Israel, who eventually got the Ten Commandments. But what's interesting is, he was traveling around. God told him to leave his land. He was traveling around and went to different places to live. He was trying to get, going to find the promised land and all this other stuff. And it says here in Genesis 21 through 4, it says, Abraham moved south to the Negev and lived there for a while between Kadesh and Shur. And then he moved to Gerar. While living there as a foreigner, Abraham introduced his wife Sarah by saying, "She is my sister." Well, why would he do that? Well, let's keep looking. So King Abimelech of Gerar sent for Sarah and had her brought to him at his palace. Things aren't going good here, right? But that night, God came to Abimelech. This is good. God came to Abimelech in a dream and told him, "You are a dead man." I love that God is very direct. Okay, "You're a dead man, for that woman that you have taken is already married. But Abimelech had not slept with her yet. Okay. So he said, Lord, will you destroy an innocent nation? Right? So basically Abimelech's like, hey, whoa, I didn't know. It's not my fault. You know, that guy deceived me. Right? He said she's my sister, everything else. So now Abimelech is ticked off because now he's in trouble with God. And so Abimelech goes to Abraham and he says, Abraham, dude, you're a jerk. Like, why did you lie to me? Right? Listen to Abraham's response. Abraham replied, I thought this was a godless place. They will want my wife and will kill me to get her. And she really is my sister, for we both have the same father. Whoa, this is Jerry Springer now. But different mothers, and I married her. Okay, now, forget the Jerry Springer part, but this is the father of the Hebrew nation. Okay? And this stuff's a little wacky, right? And not only that, he deceived this guy. And it wouldn't be so bad, except this is the second time this has happened. Back in chapter 12, he did this with Pharaoh in Egypt as well. So Abraham's got some issues, which should tell all of us that there's hope for us, right? I mean, this is the guy God chose to be the father of the nation of his people. And he's far from perfect. God understands that we're far from perfect, that we have these propensities in our life to mess things up, okay, or to self-protect. And the reality is that we all do that. We say things or we leave things out in order to protect ourselves. The other reason that we lie is to promote ourselves. Not just to protect ourselves, but to promote. And this is by far the largest number of our lies are to promote ourselves. We want to say, we want people to think better of us, right? Or we just want them to think good of us. I mean, everybody wants that. Everybody wants to think like we're okay. But the reality is for some reason, the devil gets in and he starts to convince us that if we tell people who we really are, they might not like us. Right? Or if we were to tell people, like, here's who I am and here's all my stuff, right? The people would go like, ooh, I don't, you know, want to play with you anymore or whatever. But the reality is, so we all do this. We all self-promote. And so we tell lies. I mean, most of us have done something where we've kind of said something about ourselves that's been, at the very minimum, a bit of an exaggeration because we want more people to like us. And so we self-promote. Again, there's a great story in the Bible about what this looks like. In the book of Acts chapter 5, there's this couple, Ananias and Sapphira. Maybe you've heard of them before. And it tells us this. It says, there was a certain man named Ananias who with his wife Sapphira sold some property. He brought part of the money to the apostles, claiming it was the full amount. Okay, so you got to understand that part. He brought some of the money but said, hey, here's all the money we got from selling this property. With his wife's consent, he kept the rest. In other words, they know what's going on together. Okay. Then Peter said, Ananias, why have you let, now this, listen how hard this is. Why have you let Satan fill your heart? And where do lies come from? Comes out of our heart, right? Why have you let Satan fill your heart? You lied to the Holy Spirit and kept some of the money for yourself. Okay. The property was yours to sell or not sell. You didn't even have to sell it. Okay. As you wished, and after selling it, the money was also yours to give away. How could you do a thing like this? You aren't lying to us, but to God. And as soon as Ananias heard these words, he fell to the floor dead. How serious does God take this whole thing? See, now what you have to understand about the story is this. Just before this, in Acts chapter 4, what we read is this. A lot of the Christians, as the church was starting, were doing this very thing. They were selling property, things that they owned, and they were bringing all of the money, and they were putting it at the apostles' feet. They were saying, hey, we don't know how this whole church thing is going to take off. We just know that there's a lot of people in need, and we want to jump in, and we want to be part of this. And they would sell, like, you know, pieces of land and houses and horses and whatever else, and they'd bring all the money in. So everyone was doing this, and Ananias and Sapphira were like, well, we want to be like everybody else. And that thing in our heart that says we want to be like everybody else, we just want to fit in. See, that thing in our heart causes deceitfulness. It causes us to say, like, I'm going to self-promote. I'm going to say something, or I might do something that's not fully true because I want people to think better of me. And it causes a lot of pain. I mean, this guy died. If you go on in the story, and I'll just kind of encapsulate the rest of the story, his wife comes in right after him, and they had just taken the body out. And it says, then some young men got up and wrapped him in a sheet and took him out and buried him. By the way, I just want you to know, that is the first youth group event in all of the Bible. The young men, they came in. So, and then it happens to his wife. The wife comes in. Peter says, hey, was this the amount? She says, yes. She drops dead. The young men come back in, carry out her dead body. Okay? So here's what I want you to know about this, okay? Especially all you young people, okay? This is important, okay? First youth group activity mentioned in the church, okay? The role of the youth group is to take anything that's dead in the church and get it out of here, okay? All right, that's our role, okay, young people. So the reality is, though, that then afterwards it says, then all the people saw this and were afraid. Well, yeah, but it was a righteous fear of God because God says, hey, don't do this. Why? Don't self-promote. Why? It ends in breaking down really. What you thought was going to build a relationship ends up breaking down a relationship if we lie in order to try to make somebody like us. This is huge, folks, and we have to be careful of this because we all want to be like everybody else. I mean, how many of you have driven down the freeway and actually thought, you know you're speeding, but you're going with the flow of traffic? Come on, it's lying week. How many of you have done that? Come on, some of you aren't being honest. How many of you have done that? You've gone with the flow and said, I'm just going with the flow like everybody else, right? Because there's something inside of us that says, if I'm just doing what everybody else is doing, then it's okay. God gave the command, one of the main reasons God gave the Ten Commandments to his people was he wanted a people who were going to be different from everybody else. And we are so bent on trying to be like everybody else and be liked by everybody else. And so we try so hard to self-protect and self-promote, and the reality is it only gets us in trouble when we do that. The last reason that most of us lie is we want to impact others, okay? And there's multiple ways we might impact others. This was 11%. I know it doesn't total up to 100. There was like 7% or something that they weren't sure which place to put this in. But one of the reasons that we try to impact others is we think we are helping people, okay? In other words, kind of like that verse in Exodus 23:1, don't spread false reports. Do not help the guilty person by being a malicious witness. In other words, oh, you know, I need to help them out, so I'm going to bend the truth a little bit, you know, in their favor. Don't do that. God says don't do that. That's not good. The other one is avoiding rudeness. We've talked about that before, okay? Avoiding rudeness, like we tell somebody what they want to hear, okay, because we don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. And then the other one, let me read the verse on that. I like this verse. Proverbs 28:23 says, in the end, okay, people appreciate honest criticism far more than flattery. We think people want to hear what they want to hear, and so we flatter them. Flattering is a form of lying because it's telling people what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. Now, we'll talk about some more of that in just a minute, but the reality is, in the end, being honest is always the best thing. Honest criticism helps people get better, okay? Now, the other thing is that sometimes we tell lies to hurt other people. And sometimes we tell lies about other people. Sometimes we tell other people lies about other people. And it says in Proverbs 25:18, telling lies about others is as harmful as hitting them with an axe or wounding them with a sword or shooting them with a sharp arrow. Okay, the Bible says, look, you are doing damage. You do damage with your words, especially when you lie. And it's when you go and you say a lie to somebody else, to someone else, about someone else, or something like that, because you want to harm them, it's usually because, again, it's because of fear, because you think, oh, that person might get more than me or whatever else. They might position themselves differently than me. They might get the job they want. They might get this I want or something else. And so we lie in order to harm people. And you know, when we tell other people things about other people, they're wrong. The Bible calls that gossip, and it's a sin. It's wrong. And you need to remember this, fact, I think everybody should write this down. If someone will gossip to you, they will probably gossip about you. Okay? If someone will gossip to you, they're probably going to gossip about you as well. And we know that this is true. Okay? I mean, all I got to say is Facebook. People share stuff all the time that they shouldn't be sharing. So what's the antidote to all this? What is it that will help us rid the problem of lying in our life? It sounds easy, but it's not. But the antidote to lying is speaking truth. Speaking the truth. Sometimes it's ahead of time saying what is the truth and then saying what's right. Sometimes it's realizing where you've spoken wrong and correcting that. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, it says this: instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. If you want to grow in your relationship with Christ, if you want to grow to be more like Christ, you will speak the truth. But remember there, it's really important to understand, speaking the truth in love. Some of you need to really pay attention to that, because some of you, you wield the truth around, okay, and just say, well, it doesn't matter because it's the truth, and you harm people. That's not okay either. It's not okay to beat people over the head with the truth. In fact, some of you who claim to be followers of Christ, you need to be really careful, because I have watched this time and time and time again when somebody is trying to beat a non-Christian over the head with the truth, saying, they gotta believe this. And I will tell you this, no, they don't. And no, they won't if you keep up speaking the truth but not doing it in a loving way. Okay, I have watched people push back and push away from the wonderfulness of the gospel of Jesus Christ because Christians can't speak what is true in a loving way. Folks, you need to understand this. If you speak the truth but it's not in love, people will build up, they will run away from you. They will build up walls to protect themselves from you. And that doesn't get any of us anywhere. The truth is awesome. But I've watched people go, I'm just trying to set them free with the truth. No, you're trying to beat them to death with it. Be careful. Okay, the truth was never meant to be a battering ram to beat people up with. And so what should we do? We need to ask ourselves three questions if we want to make sure that we're living in the truth. Number one is simply this question: am I speaking the whole truth? Speaking the whole truth, okay? Not conveniently leaving parts out, okay? Am I speaking the whole truth? That's a question we should grapple with. Am I guilty of misleading others? Am I saying things that might just be saying to self-promote? Am I exaggerating things? Am I, doctoring up a resume? Am I telling lies so that I can position myself differently? Am I misleading others? And then the other is, am I speaking the truth in love? You see, we started out with this commandment that says, don't bear false witness against your neighbor. And I want you to think of it also in this kind of way, because I think there's a lot of Christians who are bearing a false witness to their neighbor. I mean, ask yourself this question: is your witness giving your neighbors, your coworkers, your boss, maybe even your kids, the wrong witness about who God is? Is the way that you're living your life telling the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth? Or is your life teaching your children to self-protect, to self-promote, to use whatever tools are available to them to get themselves ahead because they need to do that? Or are you teaching them to be dependent upon the truth of the gospel? Folks, this is huge. Because we just saw it. 68% or more of the people in our own country don't believe that there's one true God that we need to listen to. We have got our work cut out for us. And the reason that a bunch of those people don't believe in that God, okay, is not because he's not true. The reason is because we have borne false witness to who that God is, oftentimes by the way we live our lives and the things that we say and the things that we do in the name of Jesus. And so we need to be very clear about how we live and what we say. But on the flip side, there is really good news this morning. The good news this morning is this, is that because you're trying to self-protect, you don't need to protect yourself anymore. You have a Savior who protected you from the fires of hell by coming from heaven to earth and giving his life on your behalf to get rid of your sin. You don't have to hide your sin, you just need to give it to Jesus because he's already done away with it on the cross. And you don't let, every time this devil starts to remind you, I love the statement, when the devil reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. We don't have to hide our sinfulness because we can say that sinfulness has been forgiven by the cross of Jesus Christ. And so you don't have to do that. You don't have to play that game. You don't have to hide. And for those of you who are trying to self-promote, you have a God who thought you were worth all that. That he would send his one and only son to come to this earth and sacrifice himself to purchase your freedom. Freedom from fear. So you don't have to measure up. You don't have to hide. You don't have to put yourself out there and say that you're something that you're not. Because the God who loves you knows everything about you and he still loves you. And so you don't have to live in deceit. In just a minute, as we do every week, we're going to take a time of communion. It's a time when we realize and we remember what Christ has done for us, that he did give his life for us. And Jesus told us this. Jesus said, I am the way. This is what Jesus is talking. He says, I am the way, the... See, you know this is true. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. There's only one way to get at the truth. The truth has a name. It's Jesus. And maybe this morning you don't know who Jesus is, and so you don't know the truth. You see, the other thing is Jesus says, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Lies will put you in bondage. Fear will put you in bondage. But the truth, folks, the truth, Jesus, and his death on the cross to take all of that away from us, that will set you free, folks. Free from having to hide. Free from having to build those walls. Free from disguising yourself. Free from all of that. Free to live exactly how God created you to live. Life to the fullest. Can you imagine what a life free and lived in total honesty would look like? Can we imagine that? Jesus came and gave his life to give you that. And will you trust him to do that this morning, to rid your life of fear? So this morning, as you take those emblems, a cup that represents Jesus' shed blood, the bread that represents his broken body, would you take some time and just sit with the truth that in Christ, you're free. If you don't have a relationship with him, I'll be sitting down here either during the music or after the service. Man, would love to talk to you because no one should leave this place in bondage. If there's a lie you need to take care of, we'll take care of it this morning. And realize that God knows it all and he still loves you. Always has, always will. And wants you to live free. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, you're so good. Forgive us, Father. We know that we're liars. We do so much to try to protect ourselves and promote ourselves, sometimes even hurting others, Father. We need your help, Father, to remind us of what truth is. Father, my prayer is that today that we can set those things aside and realize, Father, that the devil is all about fear and you are all about freedom. So help us live in the freedom of knowing that you nailed our sins to the cross. Help us to live in the freedom of knowing that you know all the issues in our lives. You know what we've done. You know what's been done to us. And God, all of that is nailed to the cross if we trust you to be the truth for us. Father, we love you, we praise you, and ask you to help us learn to live as free people. Free to serve you, free to love you, free to share you with others. We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.